All right, so welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. In this show, we're going to talk to but here's what we're going to do. We are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. And today is Thursday, September 1st. August is over, and gosh, stocks fell for a fourth day straight yesterday on the last day on August, and all major indices are down 4% or more for August. So now all the eyes are on the jobs report to be released tomorrow, so we'll take a look at this. And September is traditionally the worst month of the year. So will we break through the June lows? We will take a look at all this and more. Plus, we'll show you our current positions and how we are trading these markets. So as you can see, there's a lot to talk about, and we'll get started in just a second. But if this is your first time here, hi. I'm Marcus Hardcutter. That super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And we're real traders who trade live accounts. And therefore, we got a lot of trading experience. And we're showing you how exactly we trade these super crazy markets. So we know our stuff, and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. If you're looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. So let's take a look at the markets here and see what's happening, Mark. Geez, we're falling again.
Gosh. Like you said, Marcus, August, wrapping up the trading month yesterday, and the S&P down over 4% for August. So, good July. August was looking like a real nice continuation of that move higher, but not the case when things settled. And today, we're seeing a little more follow through to the downside, Marcus. S&P down over 1%.
Yeah, and I mean, the Nasdaq now down 2%. So we need to look at this of what's causing it. And looking at the economic calendar, so let's just actually look at that today. We did have some reports that were released this morning, again, ahead of the big one, which is the jobs report tomorrow. But we did have unemployment claims and also the ISM manufacturing PMI being released.
Unemployment claims actually coming in a little better than expected. So you see there that 250,000 Americans filing for first-time unemployment was expected. Instead, it was lower at 232. So that was a positive for the jobs market, but that's not exactly what traders want to see. Because we actually, in go figure, in a backwards world, when you're trying to combat inflation, you want the jobs market to slow, and that's not the case.
Right, because tomorrow we will hear more about the average hourly earnings, and that'll be a big one. You see, as long as the job market is very strong, I mean, employers have to pay employees more to keep them or attract them. And this will then again play into inflation, which then means that the Fed will keep rising interest rates. And we see that the probability of the Fed raising interest rates at the next meeting of 0.75 point, the 75 basis points, are now sitting at a solid 72%.
3/4. Yep. And also with higher wages, people have more money to be spending on higher priced products. So that's not good as well. And it's just this vicious cycle here. But yeah, tomorrow's jobs report, definitely the biggie for the week, and look for some volatility around that. Whether it's to the upside or downside, there's definitely going to be some movement.
So, I mean, talking about the jobs report, can we win at all? I mean, what numbers would make the markets jump? I don't think there's anything that can make the markets jump tomorrow.
If so, average hourly earnings is what the Fed's looking at, right? But if you see just a surprise where there's a couple ticks higher in the unemployment rate, non-farm jobs just so much lower than expected, I think that could be a positive for the market. I know that the Fed wants average hourly earnings to come down, right? But just a slowing jobs market, again, bad for the economy, but potentially good for inflation. And so that's what could move the market positively, I think.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we're going into a 3-day long weekend. We talked about it with our masterminds earlier. So looking into ahead to next week, we don't have a whole lot going on next week. Monday is a holiday, so Labor Day. And then We don't have a whole lot of economic reports next week. The big one will be the week of September 11th.
Yep. Not Sunday, but...
There we go.
Yeah, that's when you get all of the inflation data coming out. So Tuesday the 13th, you see CPI data. Wednesday, you have PPI data. I mean, even retail sales on Thursday, consumer sentiment. So busy week, not next week, short holiday week, but the week after. And then you have the Fed with their two-day policy meeting the following week, wrapping it up on Wednesday the 21st.
Right. So mid-September, this is where I think we will see some action. And this is where the market might actually find some direction and might find a bottom. Because right now, it seems that the bottom fell out of it. We talked about it the other day, that especially for the S&P, the 4,000 level was an important line in the sand, and now we are trading at 3,900. So this has been broken, and I mean, there was not even stopping, maybe for a little bit. And if you also look for the week, right now for the week in the S&P, we're down 3.6%. In the NASDAQ for the week, we're down 4.6%. So, I mean, another massive losing week.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We mentioned that a pullback after such a sharp rally, That's actually positive. That's healthy to get a pullback and then have buying resume where there's more buying interest. But at this point, all of that optimism has left the building. It's gone, right? We're not back at June lows. I don't know if we'll get to June lows, but right now it's negative for sure, right? The rally, we'll see if buyers do start to step in thinking that there's an opportunity here after such a pullback. But yeah, I mean, you want to be long going into a holiday week? I'm okay with the positions that I am in, but I wouldn't necessarily be overly optimistic adding just a ton of, you know, putting a ton of money into the market before the holiday weekend if I wasn't already in some trades.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about our trades here in just a moment, but I pulled this up from PGM Capital that September is just traditionally the worst months. This is the Dow Jones since 1896. And we just see that September. So if we could see a retest of the lows, it would be September.
It could. Yeah. It could.
Here's the cool thing. Did you see that? Gold bullion's average monthly returns. September being the best month. And this is where we do trade right now a gold stock, actually. And we'll take a look at this. But yeah. Super interesting what's going on there. So let's take a look at our positions. And then we had a bunch of really cool positions popping up here today. But looking at our existing positions, so Barrick Gold, we sold the 15 put and we actually might get a sign. And this is where we are talking about, okay, that is a gold mining stock. But that might be good for us if we are getting assigned here and then can sell calls going into September, which traditionally has been the strongest month for gold.
Sure. And I mean, timing wise, you're not going to get it perfect with the best entry at the best time, buying the low and it not dipping any lower. But I am very comfortable owning Barrick Gold at $15 a share. I do believe even if it's not over the next couple of days or couple of weeks, we're going to see a move higher. For a few reasons, like you said, hey, September, great month for gold. Also, based on the overall chart, 15 looks pretty good when you're looking back at, you know, more time. You also have the strong dollar really affecting gold. And if the Fed is raising rates and if there is more inflation, then gold typically does well in an inflationary environment. We just have the strong dollar holding it back right now.
Yeah. So we'll see. Also, just looking at today with the blue bar here, we opened lower, but we're right now higher than the open, which is in stark contrast to where the overall market is. Because if you're looking at a 5-minute chart, for example, at the NASDAQ, making new lows. So definitely holding up here. I'm also looking forward to get a sign in this. The next one, Google, that's also one that I'm really, really excited about getting a sign. Because I think that Google is just a solid company here. Has been caught, of course, in this in this market downturn here, but super solid support that we see here. We actually sold the 108 because we both were a little bit more aggressive here because we don't mind owning Google at 108 at all.
Yeah, and this is where last Friday when we started to see the selling accelerate, this popped up. This was an opportunity. And like you said, strike-wise, maybe a little aggressive, but I feel comfortable owning Google between 105 and 108. You look at the lowest the support indicator that we have in PowerX, you can make a case for 105 and 106, and even the strike that's popping up where the scanner is below that. So I definitely like these levels for Google.
Yeah. And I mean, with the scanner, I said it's popping up, but this is right now. Oh, we still have the 105 available for tomorrow. That would be a good trade.
That's nice, a
That
little
for
one-day trade.
$24 per contract traded, that would be a good one. So if you're looking for some trades, here you go. So I mean, do your own research by all means, but I like this. Macy's, that's a trade that I'm in, and I actually sold the 17 put. I've been doing this a few times already over the last few weeks, and we'll see also Macy's right now just trading around the strike price. So tomorrow will be the big day. Will we get assigned or not? And I mean, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but we're ex excited about assignment.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When we are doing our due diligence to select stocks and also strikes that we own the stocks at, we're comfortable selling those puts, basically collecting a dividend payment up front and then getting to own them at a discount from where we identified the opportunity. So we know that when we get assigned, that's typically where the bigger profits come because we're making money on the stock and selling calls. So happy to be assigned the trades that were that we sold for Friday.
Yeah. Nvidia, I'm not happy about the news that came out
I
because this
know.
is where last night there were some news that Nvidia received a letter from the government that they are not allowed to sell chips to certain Chinese entities or in China anymore. And it was certain chips that are affecting it. And therefore, massive plunge today. So, right now, down more than 10%. So, that's where I got assigned 600 shares at 195. I've been able to collect a lot of premium, so I've more than $13,000 in premium, but that's ouch. Don't like
Yeah,
that.
this one's a real tough one, and it's actually having an impact on AMD. Marcus, I know that we talked about it in the Mastermind group, and it sounds like based on what you read that AMD doesn't believe it will affect them the same way because it was the U.S. imposing new licensing requirements on shipments for the chips to China. So AMD not down as much, but traders still not liking that news. So hoping it's an overreaction. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago I was looking to let this one go, and I expected a little more upside. That was not the case. I'm still comfortable being an owner of this company, but now we could potentially start managing it from a different perspective, adding to it, being in the trade a little bit longer. Not something that I really wanted to do, but something I was willing to do once I took ownership of those shares.
Right, and this is why it's important. I mean, only trade companies that you're comfortable owning. I'm still okay with Nvidia here, but yeah, this is where it might make sense to fly a rescue mission with a lower position size, but this way bringing down our cost basis probably to 180. I mean, right now my break even is already at 174 because I collected so much premium on this. So I could bring down the cost basis maybe to 180, which would bring down probably my break even to around 165 to 168. I would have to calculate it, but that's then much more doable for AMD to get back into that arena. So yeah, definitely looking at that. All right, two more that we need to run through, and then we can also take a look at some other opportunities. TPR, TPR. I mean, I was close to getting called away on this one, but now it's pulling back. But I mean, overall, considering in the overall market, this is hanging in there. Not able to sell calls right now, but this is where I might be able to sell calls here. Also, as we can see here, very similar to what we saw with Macy's, I believe, or Google, wherever we looked at, or Gold, yeah, where we are right now, higher where we opened, very similar here in TPR, just around where we opened here, still down for the day, but that is looking actually pretty strong.
Yeah, I didn't take this trade, but It's been very resilient to the overall market. I mean, just look at that chart. I know it had the dip before earnings back in May, but compared to the overall market, TPR has been pretty strong in this 30 to maybe 35 zone. I actually had a coaching call with a mastermind member yesterday. He was selling calls 35 up to 37, and this was one of his top three moneymakers for the year, which is interesting, you know? So it's pulled back a little bit, Marcus, but all in all, this one's hanging in there for the market environment we have.
It sure does. It sure does. All right, UAL, United Airlines, that's another one. We sold the 35 put right now, trading below the 35 put, so we might get a sign on this one. And I don't mind owning United here. Let's just zoom out a little bit. At 35, we see that there's a possibility that it could potentially drop down to 30. But I think there will be some juicy premiums that we can collect over the next few days and weeks.
Agreed. And this one goes a little bit against the grain, what we typically look for from a income criteria with stocks that we're looking to trade. But this one has a tendency to bounce back after it retraces, 10, 15% from the highs. And I like that longer term support. So I'm happy to own it at 35.
All right. Before we continue and look at some opportunities that we had today, let me ask you, is this helpful at all as we are going through our positions, explain our thinking? Because if so, do me a favor and click on like. This way we know that you're enjoying this and then we can do more of that. So if you're enjoying it, just hit like. And I mean, today on the scanner, just a lot of stuff popping up because it's a down day. Yeah. And a down day is perfect for selling puts according to the whale strategy.
Yeah, I mean, just a lot to pick from. And this is what we look for right now. You know, we are in positions waiting to see what Friday brings. But I do think that there's some opportunity if you have UAL, but like AMAT?
Yeah, AMAT here, for example. Yeah, if you're looking for semiconductors, that could be a possibility. I think Qualcomm even stronger here. So that's another possibility.
For me, that'd be my preference.
Yeah. Halliburton, I mean, several of our mastermind members already traded this earlier this week. And then, Capital One Finance, DFS, not really our favorite, but if you want to get into financials, these are other possibilities here where we have some solid strike prices popping up here. Again, always do your own research and make sure that you're comfortable owning this company. And I think it definitely helps if you're looking here at the fundamentals and see, okay, what is the P ratio? What is the dividend yield? And how are they doing over the last few quarters and over the last few years? Are you comfortable having this stock in your portfolio? And this is where I also want to go back to NVIDIA. If we see NVIDIA right now, a P ratio of 44, super small dividend yield, but quarterly pretty strong. Annually, I mean, look at this. This is just a super strong stock. And this is why I'm not worried about NVIDIA at all. We just need to manage the position right now. And it's very similar for you. I mean, AMD, no surprise, looking very, very similar here.
Yep.
So this is where it is important to do your own thing. But you see, sometimes it might be that you sold some puts and then you decide, okay, I do not want to get assigned. So there's always the possibility of either buying back or rolling. And I did a video on this. So take a look at this that talks about, okay, worried about assignment. Here's what you can do if you're worried about assignment. We're not, but maybe you are. Take a look at this video and then we'll see you again tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.